Welcome, everyone, to Burgess Power Hour. And today, tonight, is all about family, kill them or eat them. In other words, our holiday effective communication with our families and our friends over the holidays. So I just want to say thank you all for being on the call. And I'm going to mute everybody and see if that works. And if you want to say anything, which I hope you will, with this experiential power hour that we're going to have together, please just hit star 6 on your phone, and that will unmute you. If for some reason it doesn't, I will take everybody back off of mute, and then you will be able to mute and unmute yourself with star 6. So I'm going to go ahead, and I hear we have people from Arkansas and Hawaii and Florida and Georgia, and I'm not sure, before I mute everybody, where else are you people calling from, just so we can get a good count of where everybody is in the world right now?
Miami.
Miami.
Yeah, Miami, Florida. Sylvia Latimer speaking. Blessings to all.
You too, honey.
More Thank Miami.
You. More Miami.
All right. All right. Go Heat.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Oh, wow. Boca Raton.
Boca Raton.
Christina.
Christina.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
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 Where are you calling from?
Oklahoma City, well, Edmond, Oklahoma.
Okay, awesome. And then we've got Arkansas and Hawaii in the house. I think Hawaii wins so far, as far as long distance from where I'm at the moment. But anybody else want to call out where you're calling from before I put us on mute? Okay, so I'm going to try to say again. Okay. I'm going to put us all on mute. We'll talk about our holiday, our families, our communication, and I hope you enjoyed my blog if you got to read that, but also to see that holidays in December for most people can be trying for a lot of different ways. That's why I really wanted to make this Power Hour about family and friends and holidays and communication. So oftentimes I know that when we get into going back to our homes or meeting with people that we haven't seen in a while, or maybe we just get depressed because things are different than they used to be. There's just a lot of things that happen over the holidays. So I'm going to go ahead and mute us now. All right. So everyone is muted. Again, if you want to unmute yourself, all you have to do is hit star 6. And that will unmute you so you can talk to me so that you can answer questions and ask questions and make any comments you would like. So tonight, family, kill them or eat them. So our holidays can be trying sometimes and fun and stressful for some people. And I do know that oftentimes it's been my experience that when I get together with my family or with people maybe that I haven't seen in a while, or even if I have seen them, oftentimes our family dynamic plays out, whether we're with our family or not. But a lot of times we get together for these events over the holidays, especially if we're sitting around a table eating, or we're unwrapping gifts, or we're at an event with our friends and family. Sometimes our communication can be a little bit challenged. So whenever we go back into our family of origin, meaning that let's say that we go back to our homes that we grew up in, or let's say that we visit our friends or our family that we've been with for a long, long time, or let's say they're coming to our house, whatever is happening in your life right now with the holidays or what you normally have happen, oftentimes what will happen is you will go back to that dynamic, that communication, or that subconscious dynamic that happens when there's family around, when there's people around that that you have a history with. And a lot of times we can allow those people in our lives to really affect us and can affect us in a way that may not serve us. So what I'm here to do tonight is to give us a boost of power hour of perhaps different ways to communicate with our families this holiday season and address some of the things that come up for people and how to communicate with their loved ones without going into any kind of old dynamic or old behaviors such as being reactive, such as feeling like you are 2 years old again, or feeling like you have to defend yourself, or feeling like you're not good enough, or feeling afraid to tell your truth. Or maybe you go back into your codependent place. Or maybe you go into, you enable people. Maybe they have too much to drink and you enable them. Or maybe you hear a lot, do what I say, not what I do. Maybe that's you saying that to other people. There's a lot of different behaviors that seem to come up, again, that have not been addressed or healed or looked at when we're together with our family over the holidays. So let me just start off by saying there is a difference between responding to people in your sphere, in your world, and then reacting. Most of the time, it's been my experience that when we get around family, it can get rather reactive, meaning we don't take the time to respond to being present with that person. Whatever past we have with someone, it seems to always kind of be, we drag our past along with us. And there's nobody that can really push our buttons than the people that are closest to us or the people that we know so well. And you've heard that old adage of the people that are close to us can hurt us the most. The people that we love the most can push our buttons the most. Well, that's true. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of the main reasons I want to really remind everybody is that when there's a lot of love present, then everything unlike love comes up for the purpose of healing. I'm going to say that again. Whenever there's a lot of love present, love pushes up everything unlike it for the purpose of healing it. What happens, though, is people forget that part. They forget the healing part because we get all reactive when someone snaps our head off or says we're doing it wrong or we're not good enough or maybe we're afraid to speak our truth or maybe we haven't really reached our full potential yet and maybe we're embarrassed, maybe we're ashamed, or maybe we're judging them or they're judging us. In any event, any of those types of feelings or thoughts or behaviors doesn't really serve us, and when we get into a communication with that kind of person or those people, then it becomes very explosive, reactive, and not present, and we forget about the healing part. So yes, there's a lot of love, and love can look different for a lot of people. What you feel love is and what love should be might be two different things. And of course, if we were raised a certain way and we come back into that whole sphere of influence again, whether it's our uncles, brothers, sisters, whoever it is, we have this history of how we respond to each other. So it's our innate nature to go back to those ways of responding. It's our knee-jerk reaction to respond or react the same way that we always have. So it's up to us, really. You have a choice to when you come together with your family this holiday season, is you have a choice on how to respond and how to communicate and what is appropriate and what's not and how you can behave and what you can say and how you can stay conscious with your choices without being attacked or dragged down to different kinds of conversations that just don't feel good. So one of the things that I do in our Essence of Being programs, we have a lot of different programs, but one of the main things is taking responsibility. taking responsibility for your thoughts and your beliefs and your actions. Now, people get all mixed up about this because when you're with your family in the holidays, things just kind of happen, right? No. What happens is, again, you're attracted to the same dynamic, the same conversation, the same kind of feelings that you had before in the past. So what I'm talking about is a little different. I'm talking about if you take responsibility that you have your own beliefs, your own thoughts, and your own actions, then that's really all you're responsible for. You are not responsible for the happiness of your family. You're not responsible for their feelings. They're not responsible for yours. That's the hardest thing for many people to really grasp, especially around the holidays. So the thing I want to share with you is anything, just to remember, just to remind many of you who have taken my programs, but those of you who haven't, to also remind you that you can go below the line. What I call this is below the line behavior, where you go into blame, where you blame people in your life for your situation, or you blame them for the way you are or what they're saying, you blame them. You could also go into shame. A lot of people go into shame around the holidays. And the shame part is feeling, again, not good enough, you're not doing it right, you're embarrassed, maybe you haven't fulfilled your potential, you don't want to hear it again from your family about X, Y, Z that you've heard a million times about why you're not where you're supposed to be. Or maybe this is just your own bubble talk is what I call it, the unconscious thoughts that keep you from getting what you want. It's those little things in your head that you say to yourself. Maybe your family, maybe they don't say this. Maybe you say it to yourself and it just shows up even more when you're with people that you love, wishing that you could be in a different position, wishing you had more of whatever you want, fill in the blank. So going into shame really does not serve you at all. And blaming other people gives your power away. When you blame other people for the situation that you're in, or your thoughts or your beliefs or your actions, then you gave your power away to them. So one of the things I want you to remind yourself when you're with family this holiday season is to not go into shame and not go into blame. If the minute you start blaming somebody, the government, each other, your coworkers, whatever it is that you want to go into blame about, you're giving your power away over to them because you're saying to them, I'm a victim and there's nothing I can do about it. And it's not a real, authentic way to change. You really can't do anything about it. And it makes you feel stuck. So when you go into shame, same thing. You feel stuck. You've given your power away as well. So anytime you go visit your family or they come visit you, just remind yourself, I'm going to stay above the line. I'm going to be above the line this time with my communication, and I am not going to allow anybody to talk to me in a certain way, or I am not going to have anything that they say affect me that will keep me from being my true, authentic self, which is powerful, connected, deserving, loving, innocent, creative, blessed, and perfect, just the way you are. So stay above the line, being responsible for your thoughts and your beliefs and your actions. And at the end of this call, I'm going to give you a whole list of rights that I want to remind you of, that you have a Bill of Rights, that you have a right to feel certain things and a right to say certain things, and I want to remind you of those, and I'll be doing that at the end of the call. So, again, stay above the line. Anytime you find yourself going below that line, when you start to blame somebody for something in your conversations or when you're with your family, your friends, just remind yourself, oops, I'm giving my power away. Anytime you start the sentence with, you did this to me, or they did that to me, you're basically saying, I'm powerless, I'm a victim, and I can't do anything about it, I'm stuck. Even though it makes sense to you, even though you feel justified in your position, it still puts you in the energy and the framework of, I can't do anything about it. So, again, going above the line means I take responsibility for my thoughts, my beliefs, and my actions. Now, one of the exercises that you can use or a communication tool I'm going to give you, especially when you're around people that you love or that love you, is to say, the truth for me is. So when you're having a conversation with somebody that maybe they're disapproving of you about something that you're doing in your life, or they don't like your girlfriend or boyfriend or wife or husband, or there's just some kind of a wounding that's happening or some kind of dysfunctional something that they want to needle you about. What you can say is, the truth for me is, and you say whatever it is that you want to say, because if you phrase that to that person, they cannot argue that. They may not agree with what you're saying, but they cannot argue or not defend, or you cannot defend, let me rephrase that, you cannot not defend your position because you're saying, hey, that's the truth for me. It may not be the truth for you, but it's the truth for me. And they really can't argue that. So if an old wound resurfaces at your holiday gathering and you feel yourself kind of reacting or holding your breath or constricting as you did before in your life, so just say with love and compassion, the truth for me is. And you do that without any judgment. So you want to stay away from the blame thing. You know, you want to stay away from you made me feel or you did this or that. Take that responsibility for your feelings. No one can make you feel anything without your permission. Remember, this is your truth, not the truth. This is not about you being right. So I know a lot of families get involved in who's right. So once you speak your truth, allow the other person to do the same thing. But here's the difference. If you open your heart and listen with your heart and acknowledge that that's their truth and it's every bit as valid as yours, you don't have to agree with it and they don't have to agree with yours, but at least you can stand in your power and you say, that's my truth. That's what I believe. Because people, no matter who they are, want to be heard. And they want to know that they matter. And I know that in a lot of situations with family, many people get belittled. They get belittled like they don't matter anymore, or they're not as important, or they go right back to their childhood. So many times we don't even speak our truth at all. So we pretend everything's okay, all is well, let's not talk about it, while subconsciously we hold on to our past hurts. And then what happens is something triggers us. And it's really easy to get triggered, right, in a holiday gathering or when you're with friends and family that you've been around a long time. So these things trigger you, and you can explode, perhaps, and not even know why. You could say damaging and hurtful things, or they could, too. So by using this method of saying, for me the truth is, and authentically communicate your truth with love and compassion, you not only honor yourself and the other person, but the relationship as well. So this really does set the stage for true healing to begin. It really does. So when there's a lot of love present, everything unlike love comes up for the purpose of healing. Please remember that part. When you go into a loving situation or what is supposed to be, quote unquote, a loving situation, just know that little things can trigger you and they have very big implications. And so one of the ways to keep yourself from going below the line, going into blame or shame, or even making excuses, I call it justifying, you know, without having to go into justifying your position and being righteous about it, just say, for me the truth is, and know that you don't have to defend anything. You don't have to defend who you are, because you have the right to feel whatever you feel. You are responsible for your thoughts, your beliefs, and your actions. And you can be a demonstration for your entire family of how to do this. See, because when you, if you walk into a room and you have a lot of guilt and shame throwers, you know what I mean, that's okay. You didn't get me what I wanted this year, but that's all right. I'll just sit in the corner in the dark by myself. It's okay. Don't worry. You go out and have fun. Don't worry about me. So you have people sometimes that will throw guilt at you. So if you keep catching the guilt, they're going to keep throwing it. If you catch the shame, they're going to keep throwing it. So the thing to do in that type of situation is do not catch it. Just sort of duck. You know, it's an emotional and energetic duck. Duck away. Don't let it come into your space. Don't let it come into your energy field. Don't let it come into your heart. And one way that you can do that, or how you can do that, is when you walk into your holiday gathering, put up a mirror around you. Now, this is an energetic mirror that you can put up. Just try it. It'll be fun. You just put a mirror up around you. Just visualize. It takes you just a few seconds. Visualize a mirror around you, and the mirror is facing out so that whoever looks at you is seeing their own reflection. Okay? Now, this is all energetic, obviously. You're not walking around with, you know, a mirror. So energetically, you're putting a mirror up so that whatever they throw at you, whatever they say to you, whatever seems to come your way that you don't feel good about or that you do not want in your space, it bounces off. It just reflects off of you, and it doesn't come into your space. So you can still feel grounded and centered and important and connected and not allow anybody to knock you off your center. So try that for this holiday gathering or whatever you do this season, is just put a mirror up around you and see what happens. And if you stop catching the guilt or the shame, okay, they're going to stop throwing it, because it's no fun to keep lobbing a big guilt ball at you if you don't catch it. Then they're going to stop. It's just not fun if nobody's catching it. So that's another thing that you can do, is just not catch it energetically or emotionally. So be present with your family. That's another way to do it. So the truth for me is one technique. The mirror is another technique. And being present with that person and these people is also a technique. Don't bring your past or your future into the room. So let me give you a for instance. When I was growing up, the way that my family loved me and showed endearment toward me was to make fun of me. So if I was being made fun of, if they teased me, if they told me things that were very hurtful, really, if anybody heard what they said to me, you would think they were trying to be hurtful. But it was their way of being endearing to me. And if they did not do that, that meant to me that they didn't love me. So I equated, as a young child and teenager on up, that if I wasn't being made fun of, then you didn't love me. Now, how is that going to show up in my life now, right? I mean, that's a little awkward, and whatever judgment you want to make on that. I mean, I had to look at that as part of the way I was raised. So it hurt me deeply what people would say, but I would laugh it off, and I'd roll with it. It didn't feel good, but I knew that that meant love to me. So once I left home, I was always looking for people to make fun of me because that meant love to me. If their endearment toward me was to belittle me, make fun of me, tease me, then I felt like, oh, okay, they love me. Until, of course, I realized my pattern and that that was not really serving me anymore. So obviously I don't attract that or try not to attract that anymore. But that is something that I had to learn and figure out and heal. So for you, you might have a pattern of how your family has shown you love. And maybe it still serves you and maybe it doesn't. So I invite all of you to look at, how did my family show me love? How did I get my fill and full of love? How did I get that with my family? Or did I even feel that ever? And what does that feel like? And do I deserve it? Because I know that also that holidays can bring up a lot of sadness for people. It can bring up, apparently a lot of people pass away during the holidays because it can be a very lonely time. It can bring up sadness and feeling alone. And so maybe you reach out, maybe you don't. But the thing I want all of you to hear is that you are not alone, that you have the power to create whatever you want in your life, that you are connected, you are not alone, that all you have to do is tap into your higher self, your belief in whatever you call your connection, to not give up on yourself because you are important and you have something to say and something to do on this planet, that there is a reason why you are here. And maybe you'll find it, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll get a glimpse of it, maybe you won't. But the thing I really want you to understand, when you're with your family sometimes and with the people that you love, they can hurt you the most. And what I'm offering you is an opportunity for you not to allow that to happen, to be the demonstration to them on how to communicate, how to be authentic, how to tell your truth without judging other people. How do you do that? How to be in communion or be connected to your family members and demonstrate for them, even if they don't understand it, even if they don't want it, even if it doesn't make sense, even if in your mind they don't deserve it. Because if you practice that demonstration of being authentic, of telling your truth without judgment, with compassion, holding them as innocent children, holding yourself as an innocent child, see the innocence within yourself, see the innocence within them. When you look at your family, see them as little kids, because they want the same thing you do. They want to be loved. They want to be wanted. They want to feel connected. They want to know that they're important. That's all anybody really, 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 when it boils down to everything, of all the travels I've done over the thousands of people I've worked with all over the world, different cultures, different religions, different ages, everybody wants the same thing, is just to know that they're important, that they're loved, that they have a purpose in life, and they want to be happy. So there are blocks to that when we come together with our families over the holidays, and good friends as well. That they can trigger us as well. So one of the things that can block you from experiencing this and what can block you from being present with them is your listening. Now, in my programs and the Essence of Being programs, all the different ones we do, we definitely go into this quite a bit about listening to each other and how to receive love and how to give love and how to receive your abundance and how to receive what you really deserve and how to give and what that means, and that the energy of that is exactly the same. So I'm going to go down the list. Now I want you to, if you've got a pen and paper, you know that I like to do experiential stuff in my calls, but this is more of just to take notes for you to see, how do I block being present and listening to my family? So I'm going to give you several different blocks that we do. And I want you to write down if any of these resonate with you. Just write down the names of these blocks to listening, okay? Because what this will do, if nothing else, it'll make you more aware, and it will acknowledge, and perhaps you'll be able to identify when you're actually doing it, because you'll have this knowing and this knowledge of, oh, wow, I am not telling my truth right now, or I am definitely judging right now. So I am not being present, because the whole idea of being with family is to allow yourself to be connected, loved, whole and complete, and not looking for anybody to fill your hole, for anybody else to fill your void, because that is typical of what families do for each other, and that's what we think we're supposed to do for each other, is to make each other happy. But it can be very exhausting to try to make another human being happy when they are not making themselves happy. Because we are trying so hard to fill up their hole, to give them what they need, that we forget about our own needs sometimes. And maybe sometimes we feel like we just can't give enough. It just is a never-ending, bottomless pit, because it is. It can be a bottomless pit because it is not anybody else's job to make us happy, especially our loved ones. Now, I know as parents, we want to make our children. We want to really give our children guidance. We want to be able to give them a head start, to have a great life, to give them a sense of some wisdom of what we've been through and what we want for them. I understand that. But it is not our job, truly, in the bigger picture, in the bigger scheme of things, to try to make them happy. We can love them, we can see them as innocent children, and we can do the same with our parents, with our brothers, our sisters, with everyone. See them as innocent children and love them no matter what, because that's what we want, is love and appreciation and respect. So it really helps if we appreciate something about these people, because it raises our vibration up to a level where we can appreciate them, so they will be able to appreciate us. Try that too. When you go home, or when they come to you, or when you see them, pick one thing. Pick one thing that you appreciate about them. Because that appreciation level will maintain your feeling place of appreciation. It will send out appreciation to them, and it is never wasted. Whether they rise to the occasion to meet and match your vibration of feeling of appreciation, that's great if they do. If they don't, that appreciation still goes on. It does not stop. It will go on to the next person, and to the next person, to the next person. So it is never wasted. So think of one thing that you can appreciate about all of these people in your life that you're going to be able to connect with during the holiday, and that raises your vibration. So I'm going to give you a list of different ways of listening that that can block your appreciation. It can block your being present with these people. So one of the blocks is comparing. Now, if you're with a big family, a lot of times, a lot of comparing goes on. So comparing is one of the blocks, and it means what happens when you're in a conversation, it makes it hard to listen because you're always trying to assess who is smarter, who's more competent, who's more emotionally healthy. So some people focus on who has suffered more, who's a bigger victim. While somebody's talking, you may think to yourself, could I do that well? Or have I had it harder? He doesn't know what hard is. Or you might say to yourself, I even earn more than him. Or my kids are much smarter. So you can't let much in a conversation with someone because you're too busy seeing if you measure up. So comparing happens a lot, especially in family gatherings. Let's all compare. Let's show our resumes and our bank accounts to see who's the best one. Who gets everybody's attention this holiday? So if your block could be, so just if you feel like that could be one of the ways that you block listening and being present, write that down, comparing, trying to measure up. Another thing that we do, another block, is mind reading. So the mind reader doesn't pay much attention to what people say. In fact, he or she often distrusts it. So you might be trying to figure out what the other person's really thinking and feeling. For instance, you might be saying, oh, yeah, she says she wants to go to the show, but I'll bet she's tired and really wants to relax. So she might be resentful if I push her when she doesn't want to go. So the mind reader pays less attention to words than to the subtle cues that they just make up, thinking that there's some truth in there somewhere. Whatever they're saying is not truthful. So if you are a mind reader, you probably make assumptions about how people react to you. You could be saying to yourself, I bet he's looking at my red blotchy skin, or she thinks I'm stupid, or he's really turned off because I'm really shy. So these are all intuitive hunches, you think, but they have little to do with what the person actually is saying to you. So I would say, if you know you're a mind reader, just watch out for that in these events coming up. Another block to listening is rehearsing. And that's one of my favorites that I talk about in Essence of Being in our programs. But, you know, we rehearse what we're going to say, especially with family. We've heard this a million times, that you get ready to say whatever they're going to say because I'm going to say everything I'm going to say to them. I've already rehearsed it. I already know what I'm going to say, so hurry up and say what you're going to say. And you totally miss what they're saying because you're not present and you've already made up your mind what they're trying to say. You've already thought 20 chess moves ahead about how you're going to deal with them or what you're going to say to them because you've already rehearsed it. So rehearsing is a really big one for family because you've heard it before or you're afraid of what they're going to say, so you rehearse what your response would be. Another one that we do is filtering. We filter things. So when you filter, you listen to some things and not to others. So you pay only enough attention to see if somebody's angry or unhappy, or if you're in emotional danger. So once you're assured that the communication contains none of those things, you let your mind wander. So you're kind of filtering what they're saying. You're just kind of tapping in to see, are they angry at me, or am I going to get hurt here, and are they throwing any guilt or shame at me? Okay, I'm done listening now. Another way we filter is simply avoid hearing certain things. And I think many of us have heard that story before about selective listening. So if we hear something that's threatening or negative or critical about us or unpleasant, it's as if the words were never said, so you simply have no memory of them. So that's a filter. Now, I'm not suggesting that you sit there and allow somebody just to throw all these negative things at you, because remember, you're going to put your mirror up, so the mirror is going to help you with that. You can always walk away and just tell your truth and say, thank you for your sharing, and I don't deserve to hear that right now. I really don't deserve to be talked to that way. That's not my truth. That's a real powerful position. So filtering can happen. Another block is judging, okay? And this happens frequently with family. They judge you, or you prejudge them. Again, you already know what they're going to say, so you judge them as being stupid or nuts or unqualified or whatever. You've already written them off. So you could be judging them as opposed to really listening to them, and that keeps you from being present with what they're saying and who they are. Another one is dreaming or checking out. And that's one of my favorites. You're not really there. You're half listening. So if you dream a lot with certain people, it may indicate a lack of commitment to knowing or appreciating them. At the very least, it's a statement that you don't value what they have to say very much. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where you just check out, where you're thinking about other things, you're daydreaming, and you're not really there. You're just kind of going through the motions, and you're thinking about other things. So it's not being very present with that person, and that could block your experience. And you're not even really there. And you can be prone to dreaming or checking out when you feel bored or anxious. So just check in when you're talking with your family or with your friends for this holiday season. Just see, am I checking out? Am I dreaming? Am I anxious? Am I bored? What is it? I'm not being present. And the seventh one, I've told you six so far, I'll remind you, it's comparing, mind reading, rehearsing, filtering, judging, and dreaming or checking out. Number seven is identifying. So you identify with what they're saying. So you take everything a person tells you and you refer it back to your own experience. So they want to tell you about something that happened to them, but that reminds you of the time that you had the same thing happen to you. So you launch into your story before they can even finish theirs. So everything that you hear reminds you of something that you felt or done or suffered. So you really don't get to hear the other person because you're already on your own story. So that's identifying with someone and not really listening to them to start with. The next one is advising. So some of us are really great problem solvers, so we're really ready with help and suggestions, and I'm sure our families appreciate that, not. So you don't have to hear more than a few sentences before you begin searching for the right advice. So you may have not heard their feelings. You're just trying to help them, right? You're trying to be supportive, but you didn't hear the feelings and you didn't acknowledge the person's pain. So he or she still feels basically alone because you couldn't listen and just be there. So oftentimes we try to give advice, especially, or people try to give us advice, especially our families, when all we want to be sometimes is just a place to feel safe and be heard. So just remember that. Are you advising people? And the ninth one is sparring. This is really very common, especially in relationships and definitely in families. We spar with each other. So we argue and debate. The other person never feels heard because you're so quick to disagree. In fact, a lot of your focus is on finding things to disagree with. So you take strong stands, you're very clear about your beliefs. And the way to avoid the sparring is to repeat back and acknowledge what you've heard. Look for one thing that you might agree with. It kind of goes along with the same line of find one thing that you appreciate about that person. But look for one thing that you might agree with. A type of sparring is the put-down. You become sarcastic, or they become sarcastic with you. They come up with these remarks to dismiss the other person's point of view. So it kind of looks like this. The put-down is, it's a standard block to listening in many marriages. It quickly pushes the communication into stereotype patterns where people just feel hostile. And it becomes very familiar. For instance, let's say that Helen starts telling Arthur about her problem in a biology class, and so Arthur fires back, "When are you going to have brains enough to drop that class?" See, that's putting her down, right? Or let's say when Jim is feeling overwhelmed with the noise from the TV, he tells Rebecca, and she says, "Oh, God, not the TV routine again." So that's discounting and putting down that other person by not hearing what they're really saying. Another type of sparring is discounting. So discounting is for people who can't stand compliments. And that can happen a lot in families too. "Oh, I didn't do anything." Or, "What do you mean? I was totally lame. That wasn't good. I didn't do that right." "Oh, that's really nice of you to say, but I could have done it better." Those are the kind of discounting that happens. And again, that keeps you from being present with the real person, and it keeps you from, it limits your belief in who you are. So the basic technique of discounting is to run yourself down when you get a compliment. And if you do that, the other person never feels satisfied that you really heard their appreciation. And he's right, you didn't. And we go into that quite a bit in our Essence of Being programs. But if you could just remember that when someone gives you a compliment, go ahead and receive it, even if you think they want something for it, even if you don't believe it, just say thank you. Because you give the energy back to that other person. You're giving something back to them by you receiving it, and vice versa. And I had a whole power call about that particular thing, so I'm not going to go into that right now, but that's part of the sparring block to listening. We don't take in the real truth about us. So another block is being right. Being right means you'll go to any length, twist the facts, start shouting, make excuses, call up the past to avoid being wrong. You can't listen to criticism. You can't be corrected. You can't take suggestions to change. Your convictions are unshakable. And since you won't acknowledge that your mistakes are mistakes, you just keep making them. So this is what we call righteous. It's okay to be right, but my question always is, would you rather be right or happy? So if your answer is I'd rather be happy, then the righteousness of always being right and defending yourself down to the going down with the ship the whole time doesn't really serve you. The other block to listening is derailing. And what that means is you derail the conversation because you get uncomfortable with the topic. So you joke it off. So you know those types of people, and maybe you're one of them. You joke it off. That means, whatever. Ha, ha, ha. You respond to whatever said with a joke or a quip in order to avoid the discomfort or the anxiety in seriously listening to that other person. It makes you uncomfortable, so you joke it off. And that can block. That can block you from being present. And the last thing I'm going to say about blocks to listening is you placate. You could be placating. Yeah, right, right. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Yeah, of course. Yep, that's right. Yep, yep, good. Yep, next. So you want to be pleasant and supportive, and you want people to like you, so you agree with everything. You're not really listening. You get just enough to get the drift, but you're not really involved in what they're talking about. So to summarize, comparing, mind reading, rehearsing, filtering, judging, dreaming or checking out, identifying, advising, sparring, being right, derailing, and placating. Can any of you identify any of those with your family communications that you have? So if you want to share anything at this moment or ask a question or give me an example or something like that, feel free just to hit star 6 and that will unmute you. And then I will give you the rights. Remember I told you I wanted you to write these down. I'm going to give you the Bill of Rights, that you have the rights, especially in a holiday setting. So hopefully people can hit star 6 to get in.
Birgit, Sandra in South Florida, I would love to have the pre-play line because I had to miss part of the call.
Oh, okay, great. Absolutely. What we will do is we will send out the, we will email on our Facebook groups. And also, let me see if I've got the...
You know, I don't think I've ever been on the Facebook group, so I'm hoping you'll text it.
Okay, great. Yeah, I can text it. I can text the line of the pre-play. But we send out all of our, to our email, everybody on our email list, we send out the listening to it again, the playlist, so that you can hear it again. Also, I'll text it as well. Not a problem. And if you're not on the Facebook groups, you can go onto EOB or Essence of Being and any of the groups. We have groups from all around the world, but the Essence of Being or EOBI, Essence of Being International, those are the fan page groups the fan page that we have, the business page, but then all the groups are labeled EOB, and that they're all different groups all around the world. But we'll post it there. We'll also post it on our email campaigns that we send out, and also on our texting. We'll make sure you get the playback for sure. So I want to just say that every one of you has a right. You have a right to tell your truth. And remember to use the words, "For me, the truth is." Be present. Take responsibility for your thoughts, your beliefs, and your actions. Do not go below that line. When you start blaming and shaming, then you're going to know it, and you give your power away. And when you're in shame, no one is powerful at that point. You cannot make a change when you're shaming yourself. So you have the right to to follow your own values and your own standards. Just because you turned out to be somebody different than what your family thought you should be does not mean that you do not have the right to be who you are. I have the right to recognize and accept my own value system as appropriate. So whatever values you have the right to that. I have the right to say no to anything when I feel I'm not ready, or if it's unsafe, or it violates my values. So one of the hardest words to say to family is no. But you have the right to say no to anything when you feel that you're not ready to say yes to it, or if you feel unsafe, or if it violates any values that you have. I have the right to dignity and respect. You have the right to be respected and to have your dignity no matter what. And I have a right to terminate conversations with people who make me feel put down and humiliated. Now, remember, if you use your mirror, like I told you earlier in the call, that this is not going to happen to you. And if you also remember, they can't make you feel anyway, okay? But if for some reason you're in a conversation with someone who is trying to, maybe they're not trying to, but they certainly are pushing your buttons and they're making you feel a certain way, humiliated or put down, okay? If you're allowing them to make you feel that way, walk away and say, you're not allowed to talk to me that way. I don't deserve it. And just walk away. I have a right to make my own decisions. I have a right to have my needs and wants respected by others. I have the right to not be responsible for other people's behaviors, their actions, their feelings, their beliefs. So you are not responsible for other people's behaviors, actions, feelings, or beliefs. You're not. You're not responsible for them. You are responsible for your thoughts, actions, and beliefs and behaviors and feelings. I have the right to have my needs and wants respected by others. I have a right to all of my feelings. I have a right to make mistakes and not have to be perfect, i.e., my belief is, of course, that we're all perfect just the way we are. It's just that if we allow ourselves to make the mistakes, we can actually learn from them, but we make corrections without judgment. If we make a mistake, that's great. That means we're learning. We're correcting without judgment.
So Burge, I have a question. This is, yes, Christina in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so I have a situation with someone I know that's close to me, and they live with family. It was supposed to be temporary, and it's become a little more permanent than it should. And this person is an upstanding person who truly seeks God for everything and watches everything that they say and does everything in love. And there's a lot of just backbiting and everything that's going on, and the mother is actually the one creating a lot of it and a lot of lies that no one believes, but they believe the mother. So what if they're ignoring you when you are trying to go to them with peace and love and truth? How do you communicate with them then?
Well, like I said before, that's a great question, hon. It's like, you, do you allow them to knock you off your center?
Sure.
Yeah. So what you do, if you're going to them with peace and love and light and giving them, sending appreciation, sending them energetic ways of seeing them as innocent, basically that's what you do. And anything that they give back to you, it, if you put your mirror up, okay, everything will bounce off of you and it will not come into your space, and you will not allow it to push you off your center, because that is not the truth for you.
Exactly. It just makes for a very, very uncomfortable living situation for her and her daughter, and it's her home. She just can't see telling them to leave and putting them in a bad position, because then it would not be it to her in acting in love.
I see. So is she sacrificing?
I'm not really sure. She's on the call. She just can't speak because of where she's at. So
okay.
I'm asking for her.
Okay, gotcha. Well, it's if I'm understanding it correctly, it sounds like there's fear there in order to speak up and tell the truth, tell her truth. Is that, would that be accurate?
Sure. I think she fears it coming back in a negative fashion that could be harmful, whether it be mental or physical.
Okay.
There's already a huge wedge. And
okay.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, again, in a situation like that, there are parameters, and there's not an easy bullet necessarily of saying just do this and everything will change. However,
right.
One thing I always go with when there's a situation like that is you decide for yourself, am I sacrificing my own happiness for other people, which is extremely codependent, meaning that other people come first before me, and do I trust that I am truly protected and all is well, and that the universe or God or whatever you want to call higher power or great spirit or energy or whatever you want to call that is basically the universe has got my back, that I can tell my truth. And if I do so by telling it without judgment and with compassion, then that's exactly standing in my power. I can take responsibility for that, for my thoughts and my beliefs and my actions, and knowing that what will come back to me will match that vibration, not the fear. So it's a matter of matching the vibration. So if you're saying something to someone with your fear attached to it, it could come back as fear and a different vibration than what you want.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah. So if you say to yourself, I am important, if this person says to herself, I'm important, I matter, this is my truth, this is how I feel, and this is what my resolution is.
Yeah, I definitely think that is it. The retaliation was really the only thing that is her biggest concern.
Well, then, again, by stepping into that, if there's a concern or a fear, as you know, when you're fearful about something, of course, that's probably exactly what you attract, right? So
right.
The thing going through the fear is saying, okay, that could happen, but I don't want to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the fact that I'm telling my truth, and this is going to shift things for the highest good for all concerned. I always
mm-hmm.
add that to everything that I say. Whatever I do or say is going to be the highest good for all concerned. It may not
mm-hmm.
feel like
yeah.
it. It may not look like it. I may make up all kinds of things around that. But eventually and for sure, it absolutely is the highest good for all concerned. And you cannot go wrong doing that.
I agree. Well, I appreciate you answering what you could on that based on what you know.
Well, you're welcome. And again,
it really was a blessing getting on the call tonight with you, because this is just something we've been dealing with. And so it was really awesome when you sent that message. It couldn't have been a better time.
Oh, good. Well, see, the highest good for all concerned. You're in the right place
yeah.
at the right time. And
sure.
Practice the mirror, okay? It really, really works.
Gotcha.
Okay? And the fear part, again, fear and love. Those are the two choices that we have. So I understand there's some fears that people have around standing in their power, telling their truth, afraid of certain things that could or couldn't happen. And again, what's the most important part is to stand in your power and tell your truth. And everything from that will eventually, if not immediately, shift.
Well,
and
I support 100%.
Tell your friend or whomever that is.
Her name is Vicky.
Vicky?
Yes.
Okay, Vicky. I do private sessions, hon, so you can always call me. I do Skype and calls, so we can work on this together in a very direct kind of way. So if you ever want to have a private session with me, and also, of course, any of the programs that we do anywhere around the world, please join us. But you can find me at Burge@essenceofbeing.com, or you can go onto any of our Facebook groups, or just go to my website, essenceofbeing.com, or eobinternational.com. So, but if you want to just email me and you want to set up a private call or Skype call or session that I do, feel free. It's Burge, B-U-R-G-E, at essenceofbeing.com.
And thank you for making yourself available.
You're welcome. That's my thing.
Sure.
That's what I do. Okay.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I've been doing this for 36 years now, so I'm old and loving it, all right? So thank you. And I'm going to have two more rites I want to share with everybody, and then we'll have to get off the call because I'm over my hour, but I can't help it sometimes. This is really important to me that everybody understand how valuable and how perfect and how important everyone really is, and that you have the right to forgive others and to forgive yourself. And you have the right to be in a non-abusive environment.
Praise God.
I'm sorry?
I said praise God. And will you be posting these Bill of Rights somewhere?
That's a great idea. That is a great idea. I think I will. When we send out the Power Call replay line, I'll post that on there as well as on our Facebook, as well as our emails when we send out the newsletters that we have. If you're on our email list, you get our newsletters with the replays of every power call that we do. And I do these power calls every third Wednesday of every month. I didn't do one in November. It was the only one I missed because I was en route to Malaysia teaching Essence of Being in my teens classes and adult classes in Malaysia. So I was caught in between. I was over the pond, as they say, during that time. But every third Wednesday of every month, I do these power calls. And the next power call I will be doing will be January, of course. And it is, I looked it up on the, it is January, and it's going to be on the essence of abundance. So January is always a great time to restructure, relook at, re-intentionalize, declare what it is that you're choosing for the year. So I always pick abundance as some type of topic. So that'll be January 20th, which is the third Wednesday of every month. So January 20th will be my next one, and it will be on Essence of Abundance. And, yes, I will post this on our newsletters and our Facebook and the emails that we send out. So the last thing I want to just remind everybody about is that we are, if you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area for the holidays, we are doing an Essence of Love little party, kind of a preview about Essence of Being, but it's more of an Essence of Love kind of a free little mini workshop, if you will, and that's going to be this Friday. This Friday from 7 to 10 at the Blue Barn in Roswell. We have a Facebook event about that as well, and you can also email me if you're curious about that. It's Burge@essenceofbeing.com. Also, the next Essence of Being that we're offering in the United States is in Atlanta, February 19th through the 21st. So that will be the next one that we have on the docket for you, is Atlanta, Essence of Being, February 19th through the 21st, and that's our three-day program. It's our flagship program. We have a ton of others, but that's the one that starts the whole process for everybody. So I know that it's a busy time, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate all of you on this call. And I really, really wish you and your friends and your family the most joyous holiday season, to just open up and share and be real with each other and connect on a way of healing and loving and connecting on a very, very soulful level, because you never know what's going to happen the next day. So take this opportunity to tell your loved ones how much you appreciate them and you love them, and to know that you're never alone, my friends. So without further ado, I'm going to turn the mute off, I think, and everybody can say, see you soon, and I'm having my New Year's party, so everybody can come to my New Year's event as well. So let me see here.
That's great. Somebody. Are you sending me a ticket?
That'd
be
great.
A ticket? Are you going to be at Johnny Regan's still in Atlanta? Is that where you're – are you going to be there?
I am. Well, he's invited me to come speak, yeah, but he's
– Yes, I thought so.
Yeah, so I'll be speaking at his thing, but my New Year's Eve party will be in Atlanta, yes. I have one every year where we kind of do a blowout with everybody from all around the world. So I invite all of you to come to that as well. That's on our Facebook groups and events as well. And I believe it was also, if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to come to Roswell, Georgia, which is in Atlanta, basically.
I would love that.
I'm going to see if we can unmute everybody here. Let's see. Okay, we're unmuted, everybody. So let's just say see you soon. Happy holidays from wherever you're calling from. Love you all.
See you soon. God bless you.
Thank
Happy
you.
Holidays.
Thank you. Thanks, Bird.
Thank you. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays, Diane.
Thank you.
You too.
Miss you all.
Good night.
Love
Good
you.
Night. Happy holidays from Arkansas.
Thank you.